Well, this morning we continue on with the topic, the series of gratitude. And specifically this morning we come to the topic of gratitude and prayer. What are these two God-given attributes to every believer? Yes, every believer who puts faith in Jesus Christ and calls upon him as their Lord and repents from sin, they have been given these tremendous gifts, prayer and gratitude. How do they relate to one another, and what are they at their core? Now, if I were to ask some of you, or maybe to ask people you know, rather, friends, close relatives, to give me a report concerning how grateful of a person you are, how do you think they would respond? Maybe you can think about some of the past circumstances or situations of this past week, things that you call to mind that just happened a couple of days ago. Did you respond in every circumstance with a thankful, grateful heart to the Lord for what took place? My hope is this morning to encourage you by the power of the Spirit of Christ to seek His throne with a grateful heart in all circumstances, no matter what they be, and to reflect the joy of the Lord to those around you who are coming in contact with you on a daily basis. Now let us be hearers, not only hearers of the word, but doers also, to spur one another on to be zealous for God's glory, ready for every good work. I started off with just wanting a simple definition of gratitude, so I went to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I'm pretty sure that we could come up with a decent definition on our own, but I just wanted to know if there was something that I was missing, and I was. Very thankful I went there. I think that although Merriam-Webster Dictionary is not inspired scripture, it can help us in understanding inspired scripture by looking into the truths of God and seeking Him. I was surprised to see there were two definitions to the term gratitude. The first definition was more of a simple definition. It's this: gratitude, a feeling of thankfulness. Pretty easy. I think we could have come up with something better on our own if we had really thought about it. But that's the first simple definition to gratitude. The second definition actually caught my eye. It's a little bit more full. Gratitude. To be in a state or position of thankfulness, appreciation, indebtedness. To be in a state or a position of thankfulness, appreciation, indebtedness. While one definition seems to allude that gratitude is some abstract feeling within you, the second definition seems to say that you have been moved into a position of thankfulness and appreciation by some outside circumstance that has affected you. Now, I like the second definition more for a couple of reasons. First of all, because gratitude in of itself has to be something more than something that is just based off my feelings. Gratitude must be something more concrete than that. And I think that even in our time, in our culture, we are so easily swayed by our feelings and our emotions. We are a culture that is increasingly allowing our feelings and our emotions to dictate to us what truth is, instead of going back to truth, the Word of God, and studying it to identify what Christ has done and how we should be living our lives in accordance to Him. We have to go back to truth. The high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17, Jesus tells, ask the Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. We can bank on it. The word of God is truth. So for the first reason, to not so heavily rely on our feelings, but to rely on truth. The second reason I like the second definition, if I can find my notes here, is because the definition seems to imply that we have been moved from one state to another. We've been moved from a state of ingratitude to a state of gratitude by some means. Now, as I mentioned before, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is not inspired scripture, but it's going to help us, I think, even today in understanding God's word. The idea of being moved from ingratitude, a position of ingratitude, to a position of gratitude by some outside effect is portrayed in Scripture. Scripture tells us that the unbeliever does not contain a heartfelt gratitude. As I mentioned in the beginning, gratitude and prayer are gifts that have been bestowed upon God's children, believers. You have been given these amazing gifts, and these gifts are not possessed by everyone in the world. Those who do not know the Lord as their personal Savior do not possess gratitude and prayer the way we do. Romans 1, 21 through 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Man does not give thanks to God naturally. It is not our natural nature to give thanks to God. Instead, we turn and we worship all the other things in this world. We would rather find idols to worship. We'd rather give thanks to those things. But it is not in our nature to give thanks to God. Other portions of Scripture even seem to imply that we were actually enemies of God before he reconciled us to himself. Romans 5, 8 through 10. Gratitude is not natural to man. All have sinned and all have turned away. No one does good, not even one. This is why I believe gratitude cannot be based on my feelings. We must be moved into a position of gratitude, a position of thankfulness, a position of indebtedness due to some outside circumstance that is not dependent on us. If it is me moving myself into a position of thankfulness, then it is a false thankfulness. It's not real. It's not grounded in anything. But when we truly are moved by that outside effect of something, a circumstance, which I'm getting to, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our gratitude is grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. We have been moved into a position of thankfulness by the precious blood of Jesus. He has delivered us from bondage and sin and death. There's this little snippet in the prayer of Psalm 86. I love Psalm 86. But in this, towards the end of Psalm 86, there's two verses that I would encourage you to look into, study this week, even memorize as we continue on in the series of gratitude, and specifically today, gratitude and prayer. Psalm 86, verses 12 and 13. The psalmist says, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. The basis of the psalmist's gratitude comes, he's giving thanks because he has been delivered from the depths of Sheol. He has been saved. He has been redeemed. And now his response is a response of gratefulness, a response of gratitude. As believers in Christ, we have been moved into a state of thankfulness because of what the Lord has done for us. Now that we have been affected by the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to continually, incessantly rejoice in him with grateful hearts. It's interesting to note that where Scripture talks about gratitude, it is so closely in line and next to prayer. Prayer and gratitude are very commonly connected. And we see it all throughout Scripture. You see it in the Psalms. You see it in the priestly prayers, in the king's speeches before the people. You see it in the epistles with the benedictions and the greetings. Prayer and gratitude are a common theme. Not only are these two gifts special to the believer from God, but according to the Apostle Paul, they are expected from every believer all the time. Whoa. That should catch you. Prayer and gratitude are expected from the believer at all times. It's not just a suggestion. Paul's just not recommending it to the churches. No, he's telling them to be grateful and to pray without ceasing in the Lord. And he sends this message across to the churches, of which I will read four passages here to four different churches. And I want us to even think in light of our gathering here, to be filled with these words of Paul. The first text, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Rejoice all the time, no matter the circumstances, no matter your worries, no matter your anxieties, with prayer and supplication. Give them to the Lord, but let it be done with thanksgiving for each one. The next text, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, to the church at Ephesus. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, giving thanks always and for everything to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In all circumstances, in everything, giving thanks to the Father. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The believer in Christ is to be in a perpetual state or position of thankfulness, always rejoicing in the Lord, always seeking him in prayer. According to Paul, he goes as far as to say, this is God's will for you. This is the will of God. I'm not recommending it. I implore you, seek his face in all circumstances, in all situations, with a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read passages like this, I feel the weight, because I know my own tendencies. Even this past week, in preparing for this sermon, or in past experiences of mine, I will tell you, I am not grateful for everything, for every circumstance, for every situation that comes up in my life. It is hard. What Paul is asking of believers is hard. How are we to be grateful in circumstances where we are feeling pain and trial and difficulty? How are we to have a grateful heart to the Lord in the midst of these circumstances? I think sometimes we write it off. Well, Paul doesn't really mean that. He doesn't mean in every situation. You see, if Paul only understood what I've been through, he wouldn't have said it that way. Or if Paul really understood what I'm dealing with right now on a daily basis, then he wouldn't say in all circumstances. If Paul only knew how I was feeling, he wouldn't mean what he says in all circumstances. I repeat, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How is it possible? Well, first of all, I don't think that we should question Paul's ability to understand sufferings. If anyone knew anything about trials and sufferings, it was Paul. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was beaten. Paul was lashed. He was betrayed. He was stoned. But even more, Paul fades in comparison to our Lord Jesus Christ, who experienced the ultimate suffering on our behalf. If anyone understands suffering, it's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why are we not running to him? Yes, the statement remains, Ventura, and has remained all this time. Give thanks in all circumstances, in every situation, whether you, definition one, feel like it or not. How do we do that? When trials come and circumstances arise, how do I give thanks? By running to his throne and pleading for his grace. That is the only place you will be able to find a heart full of gratitude. This is why the world cannot, because the world does not possess this access to God's throne. We have been given gratitude and prayer. Together, we can approach God's throne room, to which the believer cannot approach God's throne room. Sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And the righteous have been made righteous because of Christ's cleansing blood. For those who turn to him, they are made righteous. And so we can approach his throne. You have been given gratitude and prayer. Unlike the world around you, cherish them. Do not think they are some sidekick to the Christian life. They must be embraced in full as part of the Christian life that is foundational to us seeing Christ, who he is, our Lord, and worshiping him. Whatever giant you are facing right now in life, whatever dark valley you are walking through right now, be certain of this. Christ Jesus has already faced the same giant and has already passed through the same dark valley and has overcome sin and death. He is victorious over it all. Again, why do we not run to him? Why is it that whatever current circumstance or situation we are in, we defect? We don't go to the Lord. We embrace our own methods, our own ability to fight sin. Turn to the Lord. Know that he has already conquered sin, and every trial you are experiencing right now, he has already overcome. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, approach the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have been given that privilege. You have been given that gift. Run to the one who knows your suffering. Run to the one who knows your trial. Run to the one who has already overcome. It's not enough that Jesus could just relate to our sufferings. Jesus went to the cross with joy. A grateful heart, you see, he did it perfectly. He knew the road that was set before him. He knew what he needed to accomplish. Yet he persevered with joy because he was thinking of you. The glory of God, the redemptive plan, all of it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him? Yes. Yes, believer, for the joy that was set before him, he persevered, he endured. We are then to run to him. Where else are you going to go? What else will you do to find a response of gratitude? We know the scripture commands it. Where else are you going to go? Seek his throne room. Approach him. When we are struggling with finding gratitude in our hearts, we should be compelled to run to Jesus. We should be compelled to seek him with all of our heart. You see, the picture of prayer, if you can paint the picture in your mind, the picture of prayer is a child approaching the throne of God, pleading for help. The foundation for that child's prayer is Christ's blood purchasing and purifying that child in God's presence. The act of that child's prayer is the Spirit working in him and sanctifying him day by day so that one day he might be made perfect. And the effect of that child's prayer is the child running through the doors with a response of unending praise and gratitude. Unending praise and gratitude. Believer, you have been moved from the position of ingratitude to a position of gratitude when you stand at the feet of Jesus and recognize what he has done and what he is doing right now through you. How can you not respond with gratefulness, with appreciation, with love? Prayer should always lead the believer to a grateful heart, because prayer will remind every believer of what they really deserve. Whenever we approach his throne of grace, we should always be reminded of the cost. Of the cost that was paid in order to buy us our access to that throne room. There was a price that was paid. Don't miss it. And yet we treat prayer so tritely. We should feel convicted in our own hearts of how much we miss the opportunity to pray when we have this amazing privilege. Prayer is the battleground for which every believer must fight. If prayer in Christ is our victory over circumstances and hardships, then why don't we run to him more? Believer, what is holding you back from approaching his throne with a grateful heart and worshiping him? What is causing you to stop, to not take that step? Take the necessary measures that you need to take to get back into the practice of praying. If you strayed, if you've fallen back, if you feel like you could give more. It is not legalism to schedule time in your day for prayer. It is not legalism to want to pray all the time. It is not legalism when you struggle with praying, but you must pray yet. Go to the Lord. Seek his face. He desires that of us. Even if you are struggling with your feelings and feeling like it's of no avail, go to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that what he desires of us? In all circumstances, praying without ceasing, giving thanks to our God in heaven for what he has done. Prayer is not based on your efforts or abilities, but it is based on the one who is working in you. Therefore, respond with a heart of praise. It is God who is working in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So go to his throne and pray with a grateful heart. Recognize what we really deserve. You see, the gifts that you have been given are his favor towards you, and the punishment that you rightly deserve has passed to another. Even in trials and difficulties of this life, nothing really compares to what you really deserved. Are we recognizing that? Do we believe that it's some merit or some effort on our own that has gotten this ability to approach God's throne? Are we clinging to our own works and our own righteousness? Because I can tell you right now, you have none, and neither do I. So we go before the throne of grace, pleading for Christ and his righteousness to pour out over us. And in that, he is working us, sanctifying us, purifying us for himself, a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He is working that in you and through you. Prayer will lead to gratitude. And in return, once we've recognized what he's done, gratitude will lead us back to prayer. These gifts that you have been given are his favor. You see, even in trials and difficulties of this life, we have overcome through Christ. Prayer allows us to see our Savior when we approach his throne. Last Sunday, Timothy brought up the fact of Psalm 2 speaks of kiss the Son. To go before him and pay him homage, to kiss his feet. When we pray, we approach the throne of grace. And when we kiss the Son's feet, kiss his feet, pay him homage. And notice the wounds that are in them. Notice the wounds in his hands. Notice his pierced side. He did that on our behalf. He took our punishment we deserved. And now he is calling us to his throne that we might come before him. Ask whatever it is that we will, and he will grant it to us. Victory over sin and death. He is working in us for his glory. So when we approach the throne of grace, we will be led to a heart of gratitude because we have been moved into a position of thankfulness, appreciation, indebtedness for what he has done. Unlike the world will ever know, the believer possesses gratitude. And as Paul calls the churches, we should be living that gratitude out in all circumstances, trials and temptations alike, all of them, for his glory. I believe eternity will be a constant, unending time of thankfulness before our God. Do the wounds ever heal? Are we going to always see his scars? To be reminded every single day throughout all eternity that he died for me and has set me free. Forever and ever and ever, we will be in a perpetual, unceasing state of gratitude and thankfulness for what he has done. As if that's not enough that he died for us, as if that's not enough that he took our punishment, we have something we are looking forward to. Even right now, this morning, this isn't it, is it? We're looking for something more, aren't we? We desire Christ. We want him. We desire our inheritance, and our inheritance is Christ. We want him. We desire to be with him in his glory. So even now, in responding in a heart of gratefulness, we are looking forward to the inheritance we have in him. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. When we see him, we will be made like him. We will see his face once and for all. Yes, the Lord, Jehovah. My life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is my life, appears, then I also will appear with him in glory. That's the day we're waiting for. Jesus is that inheritance. What more could we want outside of that? I don't care what they say. Heaven without Jesus is not heaven. It is nothing. Jesus is the prize. My Savior and my Lord who died for me, I can't wait to see his face. And I know many of you in here have been believers a lot longer than me. And through the years have persevered and kept on going, seeking Christ. You will see him one day. All those years, you will finally get to see your Savior face to face. And we await that glory. Prayer and gratitude is a gift given to us. Let us exercise them. We are called to exercise them. Recognize the privilege we have in Christ Jesus with prayer and gratitude. If there is a psalm I could encourage you with this morning, this week, it is Psalm 100. And I believe Psalm 100 is so adequate for the position we have right now in Christ. This church right here in 2016, Holland, Michigan, for the church around the globe. And one day, I believe we will be singing it in eternity, again and again and again and again and again and again. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his sheep, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your steadfast love and faithfulness towards us. Though, Lord, we have failed time and time and time again, you have redeemed us. You have helped us. You have constantly passed over our sins because you look at Jesus Christ, whom you poured out all of our sins, all of the punishment for our sins onto. You say that if we turn to Christ and worship him and call upon his name, then we have been forgiven, that we have been freed. And so, Lord, we do that this morning. Help us to call upon the name of the Lord. Help us to repent from sinful ways. Help us to ask for help that, Lord, we might pursue holiness and righteousness. Aid us, Lord, until that day when we see him face to face. Give us courage and strength. And Lord, we approach your throne and ask that whatever you will, whatever it is that you will for us, have your way with us. And fill us with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, knowing Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Every last drop of my punishment was laid upon him. And Lord, he has, by his resurrection, granted me an inheritance in heaven that is unperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And Lord, help us until that day when we finally attain it, when we finally attain our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll hear these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.